Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We got a hope that does not disappoint, right? Hope that does not disappoint. Thank God our boat won't tip. It might rock a little bit, but we're not going under. And of course, we see that even with the word. When you got Jesus in the boat's not going under. So we see Jesus, you know, he's in the boat with the disciples, but they're panicking. That boat's getting rocked by the storm, and it's filling with water. And it looks like they're going to sink. You know, they're not going to make it. So they go running down there and knock on the cabin door and tell Jesus, get up. Don't you care? We're going to perish. We're going to sink. And he got up and just rebuked the wind and the waves, which he wouldn't even know how to have done, apparently, if they didn't wake him up, because they weren't going under. I said they weren't going under because Jesus was in the boat. In other words, they didn't even need to go and wake him up. No, they didn't even have to pray. If Jesus is in the boat, there's a lot of things you don't even have to pray about. If he's in the boat, it don't matter. You know, that's what happens. People panic. They start looking by what they see and how things feel, and then they start, oh God. And then they start going into these long prayers, you know. But you got to remember, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, if the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you, if he's living in you, he's in the boat. He's in your situation. And you're not going under because he's not going under. So we just got to trust and rest and say, I don't know how this is all going to work, but Jesus is in the boat. So we're gonna be all right. Just hang in there. God's big enough to figure it all out, right? Jesus said, don't make a bunch of long prayers and be repetitious in your praying and keep asking for the same things over and over and over. He says, that's what the heathens do. He said, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. He's already aware of it. So in a lot of cases, it's really not about praying. It's just about staying in the boat. Right? Staying in agreement with him. Staying in agreement with him. Just stay in agreement with the Lord. Stay in agreement with his word. And if you stay in agreement with the word, you're staying with the Lord. You're staying on the Lord's side. And if you're staying on the Lord's side, then the Lord's with you, and therefore, we're going to get over to the other side. We're not going under. But you see, when we start panicking and start praying prayers of doubt and unbelief, prayers of fear, and we're just praying in fear because we're reacting to the circumstances and forgetting that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want, that the Lord is with us, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil. See, if we just wouldn't forget that, if we just forget that the Lord's with us, get over here in all this fear, then God would be able to work it all out. But instead, in fear, so many times what we're doing is we're actually running away from God. A lot of folks are jumping ship, you know, they're letting down the lifeboats. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God. And they're letting down the lifeboats. They're getting out of the ship. Jesus is in the cabin over here. You're leaving Jesus in the cabin. And they're going down, they're climbing down the road. Oh, God, help me, Jesus, give me an oar. And meanwhile, Jesus is in the ship, man, he's in the boat. And now they're out there, and now they're taking on all kinds of water and everything else, and now they're sinking, crying out to God. You see, why did that happen? Why did this happen to these people? Why did they go under? They jumped ship. They got out there and tried to save their own life. We don't want to just have these religious prayers where we're trying to save our own life and we're just praying in fear. and we're not praying in faith, in other words, we're not trusting God, we're not staying with his word. Stay in agreement with God's word. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of death, I'll fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Right? Just stay with the manual. Stay with the manual. Stay with your warranty. We were talking about last time, right? Stay with your warranty. Stay with all the guarantees that God has given you. You know, when God says something, it's a guarantee. God doesn't just say a bunch of stuff, and it might happen. Maybe. I mean, it'd be nice if it turned out that way, but, you know, it's just God. He's just talking. No, God's word is a guarantee. It's our warranty. It's our spiritual warranty, a warranty for protection, a warranty for prosperity, a warranty for healing. It's a warranty for healing. It's our healing warranty. And as we were talking about last time, all the parts and labor are included in the warranty. He takes care of it all. All the parts of our body, he takes care of it all. I looked up the word warranty. It means a written guarantee. A written guarantee. Everybody say, the Bible is a written guarantee. That's what it is. It's a written guaranteed issued to the consumer of an object by its manufacturer. All right? We're the consumer. Right? We're just consuming. We're consuming everything God created. And God's given us this creation. He's created all things. And he's given us our bodies to live in. Thank God we're not a body. We just have a body. We live in a body. It's just an object that we're using, that the manufacturer, who is God, provided for us while we're here on this earth. So it's a written guaranteed issue to the consumer of an object by its manufacturer promising to repair or replace it if necessary within a specific period of time. I got good news for you. Your body comes with a lifetime guarantee. It's a lifetime guarantee. Praise God. And so notice that your body is something God has created. He's the manufacturer. And his word is the guarantee that promises to take care of every part of your body. So we need to take it always. Whenever you got a problem with your body, take it back to the manufacturer. You bring it to him. He's the first one we go to. We go to him. We go to him. And actually, before we even go to him, I say go to him, we need to go to his word. We need to go to his promises. We need to go to our warranty, and we need to look in there and find scripture that covers our condition. Find scripture that covers our case. We need to present our case to the manufacturer. You know, if it's not in the warranty, and you go to the manufacturer and you're presenting this case that he's never guaranteed you anything. He didn't guarantee you to replace those parts. And you're going to him crying out for it. I mean, is he even going to listen to you? He's not even going to listen to you. But thank God, God's listening to us. When we come to him stating his word, come to him presenting our case that is built on his word. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. The Lord says this, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted, that you may be justified, that you may get what you're asking for. Notice what he says, how we're supposed to approach him. He says, put me in remembrance. What does that mean? Put him in remembrance of what? Of what he promised. Of what he said. He wants you to bring the promises to him. He wants you to state your case that is based on his word that he gave you. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. If you don't state your case, you don't present your case, you don't have a case because you don't know you have a warranty. And you're just out there hoping and a wishing and saying, God, please just do it. Please help me. I just wish you would. I'm hoping you do. Some people, that's not going to work in a court of law, a courthouse, right? You stand before a judge. And you know, that's why we have attorneys, right? Men that know our rights. They know the law. And they know how to talk to that judge and to present their case before him based on the law. They don't just go in there and go, well, we're just kind of hoping and wishing. And that's not how we're supposed to come to God, because that's not faith. You can't come to God in faith not knowing his promises. You can't come to God in faith not knowing his promises. Faith is based on the word of God. Faith is based on knowing his word. You're fully confident what he said. And you trust. This is my warranty. Now, you know, folks do this in the natural all the time. People get they buy something, they get some kind of product. It's got a warranty. A lot of times people, you know, will purchase an extended warranty on some things. They'll pay extra money to get that extended warranty. And then if their little computer or whatever it is breaks down, man, they go. And they take it back to the manufacturer and they say, hey, I bought an extended warranty here. All this is supposed to be covered. And they expect that manufacturer to make good on their promises. I mean, this is how we live. We do this. People do this all the time. This should not be a problem. We should understand this, that God works the exact same way. In fact, men do it only because God inspired it. God inspired these things. A lot of things that we do in life, a lot of things in our laws and in our society are things that God has inspired among men. They originated with him. So people will go and they'll demand, no, it's here, it's written, I got it. But we need to be the exact same way with God. He says to do it. That's how he says to come to him. Put me in remembrance. Tell me what I said. State your case. Why? So you can be set free. So you can be liberated. So you can be acquitted. So that you can be delivered. Is it God's will for you to be acquitted? Is it God's will for you to be delivered? Well, if he's God and he wants to do it, he can just do it. No, he says this is what you have to do in order for it to happen. Because again, God is a just judge. He does everything legally. And he doesn't do things based on his feelings. He does things based on his word, based on the truth, based on the law. And so that's how we have to come to him. We present our case, our legal rights and privileges that we have as children of God in Christ Jesus. We present that to him, and it'll work out for us just like he said. We'll be justified, we'll be acquitted. But we got to know the word. I said we got to know the word. We gotta, if you got any kind of thing going on in your life, I'm telling you right now, the warranty covers it. Go in there and find it. Find what you're dealing with. Find what you're dealing with in the word, and then you take that in prayer to God, and you present that to him. In faith, believing that he'll make good on his word, that he's a doer of his own word, and you stand on that word. And Father, now I know you said this, and I thank you for it. And I just receive that from you in the name of Jesus. I believe that right now. I'm in agreement with your warranty and your word. And that's faith. Now you're in faith. You're in agreement with the word. And now the word will work for you. God will be able to bring everything he said to pass in your life. That's the process. I said that's the process. That's how it works. Isaiah 45, verse 11. He says, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. You know, another place in the book of James, he says, you have not because you ask not. So you have to ask. Well, God knows my heart. That's great. Ask. And then how do we ask? According to his word, according to the promises, according to the warranty, according to the guarantee. That's how we ask. We're not just asking anything, according to our feelings. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and ask of me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. How many people know you're a work of his hands? The people you care about are the work of his hands, right? Anything you own in life or would like to have in life is the work of his hands. So he says, ask me concerning the work of my hands. You command me. You command me, a command. He's not saying come wishing and hoping and wondering. He says command it, demand it. In other words, demand it as your covenant rights and privileges. Demand it as your covenant right. In other words, based on his words. So he says, you don't demand anything of God. That's arrogance. No, not when it's according to his word. Then you're actually honoring God by showing you believe his word to the point that you would come to him demanding him of it. Now, Father, I'm putting you in remembrance of this. And I fully expect it. That's a demand. That's a command, isn't it? You know, the Lord was trying to get this over to me, trying to get me out of all the please, wishy, hopey, asking. And so I remember years back when I used to go to McDonald's for a breakfast burrito in the morning. I used to always be running late to get to McDonald's, you know. They closed the window at 10:30 and I want my breakfast burrito. And man, I'm showing up. And I'd show up like at 10:33, something like that. Go, come on, come on, come on, come on. Pull in the window. Pull up. You know, it's like, I'm like 3 minutes late or something like that, you know. And I go, could I have a breakfast burrito? No, breakfast is closed. So I'd drive off, you know, breakfast is closed. And that kept happening. You know, every time that I was late, that's what would happen. And so, you know, then the Lord started teaching me about demanding and commanding. That faith speaks in a commanding way, expecting to receive what it's saying. So I got a hold of that, and I recognized that even with McDonald's, this could work. I got to release faith. Faith gets things done. Faith moves things around. And so I pulled up to the drive-thru window, and there was no more could I, can I. It was, can I help you? I said, yes. And now we're talking like 10:40. I mean, really late. I pull up. Yes, I will have a breakfast burrito, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you. I mean, I'm already thanking them before they're responding. So you don't have to say please to be polite. You can say thank you to be polite. Just take the please out and just say thank you. So I say, I will have da 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 da, thank you. And the voice came back, okay, that'll be such and such. You know, money. And I pull out such, glory to God. It works even at Mickey D's. I haven't done it well because I haven't been to Mickey D's in quite a while. But nevertheless, faith works. Somebody say, faith works. God doesn't want us coming. Could you? Would you? That's doubting him. That's not knowing him. That's not knowing his character. It's not knowing what he said. But when you know him, you know his character, you know what he says, you know how he is, he's a doer of his own word, then you can come confidently and speak in commanding, demanding tones. Because that's what faith does. Isn't that awesome? It's our covenant right and privilege, and he wants us to believe that and act like that is so. That's why he says over here in Mark, the 11th chapter. Let's go there real quickly. Mark chapter 11, in verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, to his disciples, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever has faith, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now that's not praying. That's just saying. That's just saying. He said, he who has faith, faith in God, will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. He uses the word says three times. You'll say, says. Three times. Nothing about praying, nothing about asking. Now, he does say ask in the next verse. But right now, he's just saying, he's telling us to say things, to speak things, to declare things with the command of faith. And things will obey us. Things will happen. Our circumstances will change. But many times, people are praying one thing, and then they're saying another thing. It's completely opposite of what they're praying. They're praying, oh, God. God, I ask that we would not go under. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm so afraid we're going under. I mean, it's getting worse and worse all the time. It just feels like we're going under, you know. See, now you're saying, what you're saying is contrary to what you're praying. Which shows you're really not believing what you're praying. You're believing more what you're saying than what you're praying. And what you're saying is not in agreement with the word. It's not in agreement with what you're praying. See, that just makes our praying religious. And not powerful. But we want our prayers to be effective. We want our prayers to be powerful, right? So we're going to pray, and then we're going to speak as though we believe we received what we prayed. And we're going to start saying in line with our praying. We're going to speak in line with our praying. Amen? So whatever it is you've asked, believe you received it. Now talk like you got it. Talk like you got it. That's all covered. It's taken care of. I talked to the Lord about that. I've got that. It's all in the warranty. It's in my covenant. It's a guarantee. I got it. That's already covered. Praise the Lord. Oh, it looks like it's getting worse. Oh, that's all right. I got it. God's got it. I've given it to him. I've already made him aware of it. I brought it to his remembrance. I believe it. And that's how it's going to be. And there's no doubting. There's no doubting. Doubt nullifies the warranty. Doubt nullifies our warranty. You know, there's things you can nullify your warranty. You know, you buy something, and then on the back of the product, it says, if you scratch this off. You ever see something like that? And it says, you scratch this little thing off, it nullifies your warranty. Renders it void. That's what doubt does. That's what doubt does. We get over here, and doubt just nullifies the warranty. But thank God, God's merciful, and we can repent. And he can give us a new sticker. He can put a new sticker on there, praise God. If you punctured the sticker, or you cut the thing off or something like that, you just repent. Lord, forgive me. I got all in doubt and unbelief about that. And I repent in the name of Jesus. He says, give him a new sticker. And they cover that thing back up. They put the seal back on there. As if you never did anything. As if you never missed it. And then keep yourself over in faith. I said, keep yourself over in faith. And then he goes on in verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe you receive them, you'll have them. Again, when he says here, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, that asking is not wishing. That asking is not wishing. That's asking in a commanding, demanding tone, just like he tells us to do in Isaiah 45:11. It's asking in faith, fully expecting it as your covenant right and privilege. And then there's several more scriptures we could cover here. There's several in John 14:13. Jesus said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Everybody say, whatever. Whatever we ask, he says, ask in my name, in the name of Jesus. It'll be done. John 15:16. You did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. He will give you. God wants your prayers to get answered. That's bearing fruit. When you ask for things and you receive it from God by faith, that's bearing fruit before God, and that glorifies him. John 16:23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. That day that he's talking about is the day after he rises from the dead. And he ascends to the Father. He said, in that day, you'll ask me nothing. He said, you're going to ask the Father in my name, and he'll give it to you. Guaranteed. I mean, there's never any wishing or hope. I just gave you several scriptures. Mark 11, John 14, John 15, John 16. Whatever you ask, Father's going to do it. It's going to get done for you. If you believe that, you'll receive that. It'll be that way. Man, that just eliminates all fear, doesn't it? Woo, what peace, what joy, what excitement in living when you understand these things, when you understand your written guarantee. This is all in writing. Now, I love this one over in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, in verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, how do we know if we're asking something according to his will? Because we're asking according to his word. That's how we know we're asking according to his will. Because God's word reveals God's will. This is God's will and testament for you and I. This is our guarantee. This is our warranty, okay? So if we ask anything according to the warranty, if we ask anything according to his will, according to his word, anything, he hears us. He hears us. He doesn't hang up the phone and say, you got the wrong manufacturer. We don't build those. We didn't make that, and we certainly didn't guarantee it. Goodbye. You're not going to ever get that with God. When you come with your warranty, ask according to what he said, what he promised, he hears us. That's exciting. God is listening to us. When you're praying his word, he's listening to you. When you speak in his word, he's listening to you. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We know we got it. In other words, if we know we're asking according to his word, he hears us. If we know that he hears us because we're asking according to his word, then we know we have. Then we know if we got an audience with him, then we got what we're asking for. We know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Isn't that exciting? So we got to ask according to his word. We got to look and say, is my situation covered in the warranty? And thank God, it is. Every part of your body is covered in the warranty. And we've looked through some of the body parts, the scriptures that covered various different body parts. We looked at the eyes and the ears. And you can go back and listen to this. It's been recorded. You can get the CD of it. You can go listen to it online, download it. And we talked about eyes and ears. It's all covered in the warranty. We saw scripture that covered physical strength and energy. God will continue to strengthen us, provide us with energy. We don't have to wear out and wear down in life. Our back, he's got our backs covered. Any kind of injury or fall, God's got it covered. Hands, fingers, arms, anything that's being dysfunctional, not working correctly, it's covered in the warranty. Knees, legs, mouth or tongue, which includes speech disorders. It's all in the warranty. Hallelujah. Bones. God wants your bones strong, moist, not drying up. Lots of scriptures about bones. Lots of promises about your bones in the Word of God. We talked about degenerative bone disease versus regenerative bone divine. Right? Regeneration. God's got that working in us through the Holy Spirit. We talked about the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, versus the law of sin and death that is in the world. Thank God we've been set free from the law of sin and death through the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And so today, we're going to continue. We're going to start off talking about your skin. How people want to see how your skin is covered. See, this is to build your faith so that you don't settle for skin problems. All these rashes, different things breaking out on your skin, oozing skin, all these different things. We got to get it covered. Thank God it is covered. You just need to know about it so you can exercise your faith in the warranty. Because if you don't exercise your faith in it, you'll go without it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 27, he says, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. So these are conditions that won't go away. The doctor tells you, there's nothing we can do about it. You can put this on, some cream. We got some skin cream for you. But it's a chronic condition. We can't help. It'll always be there. You'll always have this. Oh, thank God for our warranty. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Nothing's chronic in Christ. Right? Nothing's chronic in Christ. It all can go. It all can go. So notice that again. This is Deuteronomy 28. This is talking about the curse of the law. Everything here in Deuteronomy 28 is talking about either the blessing or the curse of the law. Well, it reminds you of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, New Testament. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So what did he do for us? He redeemed us. He bought us back from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Jesus bore Deuteronomy 28 curses in his own body, the curse of the law. He bore it in his own body on the tree. He became that for us. Why? So you could be healed. So you could be blessed and not cursed. So we see if it's in Deuteronomy 28, then bless God, that's a part of Galatians 3:13, of what he's redeemed us from. And if he's redeemed us from it, why would we put up with it? Why would you put up with any of these things? Why would you put up with boils? Why would you put up with tumors? The scab and the itch. Let me read this from the Common English Version. The Lord will strike you, and of course that's Old Testament language, with diseases that will cause oozing sores. That don't sound good. Diseases that will cause oozing sores or crusty, itchy patches on your skin or boils. There will be no cure for you. Isn't that terrible? There'll be no cure for you. It's a chronic condition. No, thank God Jesus took the ooze. I'm not going to keep oozing. I mean, I'm not, thank God. But that's got to be your attitude. If you're dealing with some kind of oozing thing, some kind of scab that won't heal, some kind of problem that won't go away, oh, thank God. Jesus took that. That's a part of the curse. See, now you got something to stand in faith about. Because you know it's in the Word, so you got something to build your faith on. You can stand in faith concerning that. But thank God, there's going to be no scab. Itch, the itch. Thank God, we don't have to deal with itches. That could be tormenting. Of course, Luke chapter 5, in verse 12, talking about Jesus, it said, and it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. Leprosy is a skin condition, isn't it? Skin disease. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he, Jesus, put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. So the man came to Jesus, and he says, Lord, I recognize you've got the power to take care of this. Some people believe God's got the power to take care of anything. Yes. Yeah, but where do people get tripped up a lot? They come to him, and many times, and they'll say, God, if it be thy will, right? Lord, if it's your will, I know you can. I know you can fix this. I know you can heal me. I know you can make it better. But will you? Will you do it for me? I know you've done it for others, but will you do it for me? Jesus answered that question once and for all. Because if he would do it for one, he would do it for all. Because he says in the Word that he's not a respecter of persons. In other words, he doesn't look on one person and will do for them something that he would look on another people and despise them, wouldn't do it for them. Bible says God's good to all. He's good to all. He makes his rain of goodness come down on the just and the unjust. He's good to all. That's just who he is. But not all receive that goodness. A lot of folks have their umbrella of doubt and unbelief up, and they're not getting rained on. We got to get the doubt and unbelief umbrella off out of our heads. This head provides a canopy over our hearts. And if you got doubt and unbelief in your mind, see, that provides a nice little canopy over your heart, and you can't get rained on. You can't receive. So we got to get rid of the canopy. How do we do that? You got to pull your umbrella down. How do you do that? Well, you get in the Word, and you find out the things we're hearing today. We find out, wait, this is all covered in the warranty. Umbrella down. Get that mind straightened out. You know, the mind comes in line. And, ooh, now I'm getting rained on. Oh, now I'm seeing results. Now I'm seeing God moving in my life. Now I'm seeing things change in my life. I'm actually seeing God's word come to pass in my life. Amen. Got the umbrella down. Get the doubt and unbelief out of your head. Fill your mind up with the word of God, with the truth. So God, he's willing. He shows it right here. I'm willing. I'm willing. It's in my word. I'm willing. I'm willing. Somebody say, God's willing. To help me too. He'll take care of my skin. Just like this leper. And I can pretty much guarantee that there's nobody in this room suffering like this man is suffering. This man is full of leprosy. Full of it. And yet, immediately, it left him. When he understood the will of God. He already understood the power of God. Now he understood the will of God. And that caused him to receive his miracle. We see diseases being covered here in Deuteronomy 28. But we've got some other things also. Deuteronomy 28, verse 21 through 22. Talks about infections, fever, and swelling. Deuteronomy 28, 21. The Lord will make the plague cling to you. Another translation says, terrible diseases to attack you. Terrible diseases will attack you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption. And that could be tuberculosis. With fever. With inflammation or swelling. With severe burning fever. With the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. So again, it's all under the curse of the law. But we know Galatians 3:13 says Christ redeemed us from it. Christ redeemed us from it. Christ redeemed us from what? He redeemed us from tuberculosis. He redeemed us from infectious diseases. Tuberculosis is an infectious disease that affects primarily the lungs, but it also can affect other parts of the body as well. So this infectious disease, I've been redeemed from it. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your chest and say, I've been redeemed from infectious diseases. My lungs are clear of all infection. There'll be no infection in my lungs. Hallelujah. It's your covenant right. Do you believe it? Speak it. Declare it. And stay on the Lord's side. Stay on the, keep siding in with the word. Fever. People been talking about fevers. It's the worst flu season ever. Oh, I know. It's going around. I know a lot of people that got it. I was dealing with it too. Okay, great. Let's keep glorifying the fever. Why don't we go ahead and glorify the cure? Christ is the cure-all. Okay? He takes care of the fever. He redeemed you from the fever. From burning fevers. Severe fever. Say, God's redeemed me from the curse of fevers. I don't get fevers. In Jesus' name. See, you're demanding it, aren't you? You got to have an attitude about it. You got to stop this, I wish so, I hope so. It's not faith. Inflammation, swelling, if you're dealing with swelling, my legs are swelling, or whatever swelling, thank God you've been redeemed from it. Hey, this is a curse. You got to recognize this swelling is a curse. I understand. Medical science will get in there and they'll tell you the why it's happening and your salt level and all that kind of stuff. Thank God for it. So stop having so much salt. Change some things in your diet. I'm all for that. Get some human wisdom. That is absolutely fine, because a lot of times what people do is they believe the word of God. They stand on the word, but then their lifestyle keeps undermining because they're violating natural laws. Okay, see, there's spiritual laws, there's natural laws. God created them both. Faith is a spiritual law. That's what we're emphasizing here. We're emphasizing the spiritual law of faith. But there are laws of physics. There's all kinds of natural laws. God created those laws too. And just like you can't violate the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, you can't violate the law of faith and be successful, you can't be violating his natural laws either. Now, we talked about you can override natural laws with spiritual laws, but you can't just violate natural laws, okay? So we have to learn. We have to understand it. And God will teach us all these things. He'll give us understanding in all these things. And it's not going to be some real complicated thing. With God, it's easy and light. He'll give you some basic understanding about some basic things. Do what he says. And there might be some things he tells you, stop drinking that. Stop eating that. Stop exposing yourself to these certain situations, because you keep putting yourself back in harm's way. I've redeemed you from it, so you can keep receiving your healing. But if you keep putting yourself back in harm's way, you're going to keep finding yourself back in the condition again. All right? Now, don't get paranoid. Am I doing something wrong? Is there something I'm doing wrong? Do I have to change it? Just relax. Stay in agreement with the word. And he told me this. He said, do what you know to do. And you'll know what you need to know when you need to know it. Do what you know to do. Do what he's given you to do. Understand and know what you're supposed to do and do it. Do what you already know to do. And then if there's anything else you need to know, you'll know that too. That's God's promise to you. Isn't that goodness? So don't go on a witch hunt trying to find out what's wrong. You don't have to go on a witch hunt. Thank God you don't. So thank God for his word and that he redeemed us from the curse of fever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now some people, you know, they're dealing with a fever. Their child's dealing with a fever. And they're standing on the word of God. And the symptoms are persisting, temperatures rising. The question comes, should we give them Tylenol? Should we give them some kind of medication? And the answer to that is, that's perfectly fine. If that will assist you in your faith, go ahead and do it. Because that's not going to necessarily be contradictory of what you're believing according to the word. Because I got news for you, the devil didn't create medicine. The devil didn't create anything to heal people. He's not looking to help people. He's not looking to get people healed of things he's afflicting them of. Okay? So you're working with God's natural laws and spiritual laws, and we got to learn to put them both together and flow with God. And as we grow in our faith, we'll find that we'll be able to overcome things a lot faster. We'll be able to receive things a lot faster from God, and we'll need less and less of the natural help that medical science can provide for us. But we don't have to ever throw it out. But you will find there'll be a less of a need for it as your faith does develop and grow. And as you obey God's natural laws and spiritual laws, doing what you know to do. All right? So I know there's been times I'm dealing with something, and I know right away. It's like, well, you haven't been doing what he told you to do. You know? You haven't been eating that, or you haven't been doing this particular exercise or something like that, and you just haven't been doing what he's been telling you to do. Now repent. I know that. I'll come to God and I'll repent. I say, Lord, forgive me. I should never allow this to get the best of me. It's because I've been lazy. I was slack. I repent for that. In the name of Jesus, forgive me for it. And I thank you, which is easier to say. Your sins are forgiven. Arise up and walk. Be healed. So I receive forgiveness and healing right now for that in Jesus' name, and I'll go ahead and get that back into my daily routine. Amen? All right? So, you work with these things. God, you know, people get so weird. They throw away the natural laws and then they get all spiritual, and that doesn't work. That's just weird. Remember, it's the supernatural. It's the super on the natural. It's not super oblivion of the natural, okay? Natural law, spiritual law is working together. And here's the big thing. You say things like that, then people, and they go and they continue to lean on the natural.
Thank God he said we can have medicine.
Now they're back to leaning on the medicine.
I'm just using natural wisdom.
When was the last time you read the Bible?
It's been a little while.
You're not using wisdom. You're being fleshy. See, that's what people do. See, they throw out the one. They either jump over here and say, it's all God. And they throw out the natural, and there they go. They fall. They fail. Make a scene of the things of God. And then you got people over here, you know, they'll talk like it's spiritual. God's helping us, and they have nothing. They're not in the Word. They're not in faith about the covenant, right? And it's all natural. God's not all natural. Your granola bar might be, but God isn't, okay? God's not all natural, okay? But he's not all spiritual either. He's spiritual and natural. That's what's on the wrapper, okay? Look at the wrapper. Spiritual and all spiritual and natural. That's what Jesus was, right? He was God in the natural. That's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus is. That's who he is in our life today. God in the natural. Let's work. Let's flow in these things together with him. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah! I've been redeemed from the fever and swelling and itching and all these infections. I don't get infections. Infections die upon contact with my body that is in line with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, that law of the Spirit of life just kills infection. Kills it. Kills it on contact. Whoo, hallelujah. Thank God he's got our lungs covered. We talked about that tuberculosis, but I also am reminded of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Where it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Isn't that interesting? It didn't say, and God breathed into his spirit. It says God breathed into his nose. Somebody say, God's got my nose covered. If you having any kind of issues with your nostrils, God puts his life in there. He did that. Do you see that in the Word? He formed man of the dirt, and then he breathed into his nostrils. That's what it said. He recognized that natural part of man and breathed into his nostrils that breath of life. And so life went up in there. And, of course, not only was his nostrils taken care of, but this life of God, it went through the entire system of man. It went all through man. And here, nothing was working. Not one organ was working in this man's body. Nothing was functioning at all. And just one of the life and breath of God, everything came alive and started working perfectly. Heart, blood, everything is working perfectly. It started with the nose. God takes care of your nose. So the nose is covered in the warranty, and of course, every part of your body, that breath of life went into those lungs. And see, God still does this today. This is how he formed man, created man. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. But then you remember over in John's gospel, after Jesus rose from the dead, man, of course, you know, sinned, separated from God, lost the breath of life. Just had natural breath now. Lost the spiritual breath, the breath of the Holy Spirit. He lost that when he sinned. Jesus comes back. He bears our sins in his body, redeems us from sin, and then appears to his disciples who are hiding because of the Jews, and he says, peace to you. This is what it says in John's Gospel, chapter 21, I think. He appears to them and says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That moment, what happened? They were restored back to what Adam had in the very beginning. They were born again. Spirit of life re-entered them again, refired them up again. Hallelujah. And everyone that's been getting born again ever since then is receiving that breath of life. That breath of life. We've got the breath of life in us. Amen. And so there's just times you can just, by faith, just go and just receive. Get your nasal passageways cleared up. There was someone that was dealing with congestion. I was praying with them over the phone. Man, I could feel the tangible presence of God flowing as I was praying. And I knew God was touching him right now. And I said, breathe in. Just breathe that in. Breathe that in. And so they did. And immediately, all that congestion began to clear up. And they said, I said, what are you feeling? They said, it feels minty. Right? It feels minty. Thank you, Jesus. The mint of heaven. It works. It works. They just cleared up the nose. Cleared up the nose. Cleared out all the lungs. Thank God for it. How about our feet and ankles? Well, let's go back to the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28, verse 35. It says, the Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils, which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. So here, dealing with your ankles, your knees, your legs, your foot. He says, this is all part of the curse of the law. What's the good news? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So let's say it together. Say, Christ has redeemed me from my knees, knee pain, leg pain, boils on my legs, and on my feet. I'm redeemed from it in Jesus' name. Isn't that good news? Then in Acts chapter 3, the church is just getting started. Jesus is in heaven. It says in verse 7, Peter, James, and John, they were walking along. They came across a man who had been crippled all his life. Never walked a day in his life. He was about 40 years old. And he was sitting there begging. But Peter, it says, took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. God is glorified in our getting healed. He gets glory when we get healed. He wants glory. How many people believe that? He deserves all the glory. So we need to get healed. We need to receive healing in every area. Even our feet and our ankle bones. More about the feet. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 23. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. Verse 26. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Somebody say, he keeps my feet. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. He says, he will guard the feet of his saints. Somebody say, my feet are guarded. And that reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, where it's talking about the full armor of God. And there's armor for all these different parts of our body. And it says in verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God's gospel of peace protects your feet. It will shod your feet. It will be a part of your armor. God's got your feet covered. Somebody say, God's got my feet covered. Right, so no more athlete's foot or any other kind of fungus or any other kind of thing going on in the feet. Somebody say, I got beautiful feet. That reminds me of another scripture in Psalms. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet. Not how smelly are the feet. I remember when my children were little babies, you know, my one guy, he was a little baby, and someone would take him and take his feet and go, "Ooh, smelly feet! Ooh, smelly feet!" I said, "His feet aren't smelly." Don't be speaking that over my child. He's not going to grow up with smelly feet. Smelly feet. It's not cute. It's not cute. Stop it. You're speaking over my child. Do you believe in words? Well, then we gotta realize these things. We don't put up with that kind of stuff. Oh, it's just being cute. Oh, be cute somewhere else. We're going to have nice feet in our house. Amen? Neck. How about your neck? And more on the nose. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 4. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Now, this is the Song of Solomon. A lot of this is God talking to his bride, which is his church, which is you and I. All right? And this is how he feels about us. And he says a lot of things about the body of Christ. Lots of lovely things. And he says, your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes like the pools of Heshbon by the gate of Beth Rebim. Don't you love when he talks to you like that? This is him talking to us, guys. It is. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which looks towards Damascus. It's beautiful. Common English Version. I'm still in the Bible, guys. Stay with me. Common English Version. Your neck is like ivory. We're talking about your neck. It's like ivory. And your eyes sparkle like the pools of Heshbon by the gate of Beth Rabim. Your nose is beautiful, like Mount Lebanon above the city of Damascus. Amen. Somebody say, my nose is beautiful. Because God says so. Thank God. Thank God you got a beautiful nose. Don't take anything less. God's got your nose covered, as well as your neck and all these things. And then, of course, you go through the Song of Solomon, it covers a lot of body parts, which we're not going to cover in this message today, but a lot of different body parts of the man and the woman, and it's just wonderful, and it's all in there for you. The neck and shoulder area, God's got it covered. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, one of my favorites. It shall come to pass in that day, which is our day now, that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Thank God we don't have to deal with any kind of neck pain, neck issues. Thank God he took that. Jesus, and the anointing destroys that. It destroys that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. The latter part of the verse. It says, keep sound wisdom and discretion. There'll be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Now, whenever I've been tempted to have a sore throat, see, I'll quote some of these scriptures in Proverbs about the neck. And I'll say, he's an ornament of grace around my neck. I use that all the time whenever it tries to mess with me. And it goes. I've got an ornament of grace around my neck. I'm already yoked to the Lord Jesus. I can't be yoked to a sore throat. I don't get sore throats. He's got my neck covered, which includes my throat. He's got my throat covered. It's a part of my covenant warranty. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How about your hair? It's covered. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus said, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You've got every hair on your head numbered. For some people, it's easier than others. But he's got your hair covered. Acts chapter 27, verse 34. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. No hair loss. No hair loss. It runs in the family, not the family of God. So, you know, if you've lost it or you're losing it, you don't really care about it, you don't have to claim it. But thank God if you want to fight for your hair, you can fight for your hair. Can you say amen? It's your right to fight the good fight of faith. How about your teeth? How many want their teeth covered? Yes. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 2. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep, which have come up from the washing, fresh from the dentist. Every one of which bears twins, and none is barren among them. It says it again in chapter 6, verse 6. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep which have come up from the washing. Everyone bears twins, and none is barren among them. Let me read this from the Common English Version. It's a little less vague. It says, your teeth are whiter than sheep freshly washed. They match perfectly. Not one is missing. No missing teeth. Isn't that nice? Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he says, I got dentures. Well, praise God. If you're happy with the dentures, stay with the dentures. God's got your teeth. He's got your teeth covered. It's right here in the warranty. Isaiah 41, verse 15. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. Thank God for sharp teeth. How about your heart? Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Here he's putting the heart with the flesh. So he's talking about your natural heart, not just your spirit. And it says God is the strength of your heart. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, going back to the armor of God. This is something I use all the time. If you ever deal with any kind of chest pain, the enemy's trying to, you know, the devil has tried to scare so many people into heart attacks. You know, he's trying to get them to believe they're having heart attacks. You know, he'll get in there and poke and give them symptoms, or they're just dealing with some gas or something like that. And next thing you know, he's telling them, this is a heart attack. You're going to die. You better do something quick. What's the first thing we need to do quick? Claim our rights and privileges, right? Claim our covenant rights. Get this thing under control. I like that story that a minister was talking about. Another minister, Dr. Sumrall, Lester Sumrall, man, so many miracles, walked in the power of God. He understood it. He understood faith in his 80s. And anyway, one day he started to have all the signs of a heart attack, a stroke. I mean, his face color changed. I mean, all this stuff was happening right in front of him, right in front of this other preacher. And he said he reached over and just hit himself and said, I'm not done with you yet. He spoke to his body. I'm not done with you yet. And he said every symptom just left him. Every symptom just left him. Now that sure beats another preacher I know about who, when he had symptoms, he ran, called the emergency room. This is fine, nothing wrong with that. But then his words to the paramedics when they showed up, he said, tell my family I said goodbye. As soon as he uttered those words, boom, he was gone. Tell my family I said goodbye. So he fully expected to go. See? Well, thank God he went to heaven. He was a man of God. I know he was. And thank God he's in heaven, and we rejoice in that. Praise the Lord. But his response was more of just, there's nothing I can do about this. Tell my family I said goodbye. And he was gone. The other preacher said, I'm not done with you yet. And he took charge of his body as a spirit man full of faith, and the symptoms left. Thank God we can have that kind of faith. Can you say amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. I'm not covering every part of the body. Hang in there. I'm not going to sit there and start going through the organs and everything, okay? So he says, you're going to cover the whole body? No, I'm just covering some things. You'll do the rest. You'll do your own homework. But here's just a couple more. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What's that breastplate covering? It's covering your chest, right? It's covering your heart area. Thank God for the breastplate of what? Righteousness. So there's been times I'm dealing with symptoms. You know, you're dealing with something there in that chest area. And I've just said, I've got a breastplate. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's my breastplate. And I know nothing, no work of the devil is going to penetrate it. You just have that knowing about you. You stand in faith. That's how you activate it, see? He could tell you all day long you got a breastplate of righteousness, but if you don't believe it and stand on it and activate it, then it doesn't do you any good. Say it, I'm the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God our heart is covered. Somebody say, my heart is protected. I got supernatural protection around my heart. You got to watch too, because doctors will tell you, all this big talk about cholesterol, and you got to take all these drugs for high cholesterol and everything. And now they're finding out that, well, a lot of it really isn't cholesterol. The problem really isn't cholesterol. It's just inflammation, you know, because people are putting things in their body that were never meant to go in their body. And things are just getting inflamed, and they're blaming it on cholesterol. And you got to remember, there's good cholesterol, there's bad cholesterol. And you don't really eat bad cholesterol. Cholesterol is made bad because of free radicals. And, you know, so anyway, I won't get into all that. But the bottom line is that a lot of times people end up putting drugs in their body that end up causing them other problems, you know, because they're trying to deal with the blood pressure and everything else. Sometimes blood pressure can be changed just by your diet, you know. Just do what God tells you to do. You follow God, he'll lead you. He'll lead you in a way that it'll renew your strength like the eagles. And until you fully kind of got your diet and everything worked out, man, you just stand in the word of God and say, no, I got a breastplate of righteousness. I'm not going anywhere. I'm so glad God knows what's going on in there. I don't have to sit there and keep getting x-rays. Look again. You know, people just keep getting x-rays, and probed and all these scopes and all these things going in and looking around. I'm so glad God's in there. It's like, God, you made the thing. You're in there. You know what's going on. I'm gonna keep this very simple. Thank you, Lord. I'm gonna just take you at your word. Do what you tell me to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. He's got our head covered. He's got our chest covered. Heart, all these things. How about your blood? Just a couple more, two more. Your blood, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So notice that. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And yet you come over here to Proverbs chapter 4, and he says, the word is life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So God promises a healthy flesh, which means our blood has got to be healthy. Because the blood is the life of the flesh. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 6. And when I passed by you, I saw you struggling in your own blood. And I said to you in your blood, live! Yes, I said to you in your blood, live! And thank God we live. If God says live, we live. Right? We live. And then, of course, you remember the story of the woman with that blood disease in Mark chapter 5. She suffered so many things from physicians, and she only got worse and worse. She spent all that she had. And the Bible says when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, pressed through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment. For she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from that disease. Hallelujah. She believed that healing for that blood disease was in Jesus, was in touching him, was in touching him. Thank God. We're not just touching him. We're living with him. He's living in us, right? He's a part of us now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So somebody said, my blood is blessed. I got good blood. So sometimes just speak to your blood, you know, diabetes and all this kind of stuff. Speak to your blood. Don't just settle for what the way it is, the way it seems to be. Speak to it. Say, no blood. Sugar levels are normal. Blood cell counts, white blood cells, all these things. Normal. Functioning exactly the way you're supposed to. My blood lives. Every blood cell of my body celebrates life. Because Jesus said live. And life is in my blood. And the life of the flesh is in that blood. One more. How about the stomach? Your abdomen. Proverbs 18:20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh. Literally, that translates, and I believe it's the old King James, it says navel. Your navel. Your core. Your belly button. Right there in the center of your being. It'll be health to your navel, your abdomen, and strength to your bones. What will be? Not being wise in your own eyes, but fearing the Lord and departing from evil. It'll be health to your abdomen. Make your stomach feel, make all the stomach problems go away. Isn't that great? Thank you, Lord Jesus. My brother had a bleeding ulcer, terrible ulcer. And in one night, the same night that he got saved, I led him to the Lord, laid hands on his stomach. His stomach was completely healed. The ulcer was gone. Praise God. He went from taking Rolaids to eating pizza. Very nice. Praise God. Acts chapter 28, verse 8. And it happened that the father of Eubulus lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. Dysentery. He's talking about a bowel ailment. It's dealing with your intestines and your colon. Thank God. Paul just went in there, laid hands on, prayed for him, and bam, he was healed. Thank God for it. Somebody say, my belly's blessed. My heart's blessed. Every part of my body. My warranty's got it covered. All parts of labor. It's all covered. Hallelujah. If he can't repair it, through healing, he'll replace it through a miracle. Glory to God. If he can't repair it, he'll replace it. Praise God forever. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank him today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Man, I just feel like we've just pulled into the shop. You know, we just pulled our vehicles in and we just got worked on. So we didn't just hear a bunch of stuff. You know, the Spirit of God was working on us the whole time. Right? Because our faith was being activated, and that was allowing the Spirit of God who's in us to work. To work in us, to work in us, to do the things that he promised in the warranty. So, man, I feel worked on preaching it. I feel cleaner. I feel stronger. I just feel my system is more clear. And how about you? Yeah. Feeling more efficient? Praise God. Matt's mom, Melissa, last week, she was here. I was preaching part one of this series. When the service is over, she met me in the back. She said she was dealing with she'd gone to the doctor. There was a tumor. One tumor. It was a tumor in her body, and she was sitting there in the service, and she was saying, well, when it was over, she said, did somebody in my family call you and talk to you about me? Because, man, you were talking right to me. Well, it wasn't me. It was the Lord, right? And anyway, she said, I could feel it. It's gone. I had this tumor. It's gone. I know it's gone. I'm going to the doctor this week. I know he's going to tell me it's gone. I said, praise God. Right? She went to the doctor, and guess what? It's gone. Because she sat under the healing word. She sat under the word, man. And she believed the word. It was like you're talking right. No, she took it personally. God's talking right to me. This, wow. He could not have known this. And she just believed it, received it, and the power just happened. It's happening in you right now. Power's working in you right now. Just believe it right now. Just thank him for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Every cell, Lord. Every cell, every... Oh, my arteries and veins, and every part of my body. Whoo, it's all covered, Lord. Ah, oh, my lungs. Yes, yes, my head. You got my head covered. No more headaches. No more migraines. No more of that. No more pain in the head. No more pain in the neck. No more back pain. He took my back pain. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.